Hi, you're listening to Drunk on Comics, episode 123, brought to you by inkwhiskey.com.
Last night was fun seeing you at the bar, Derek.
Well, it's always fun seeing me at the bar. Yeah. And,
You just like going and seeing yourself in the mirror and being like, oh, there I am at the bar. It's good seeing me again.
Actually, it's weird that you say that about, like, you know, seeing me in the mirror, because that actually ties into a book that I have for off the shelf later.
Justin Timberlake? You're like a mirror. Oh.
No.
Staring back at me. Staring back at me.
All right.
He likes to be in the mirror bent over, is what he's trying to say.
Well, sometimes you just want to see, like, what's back there, you know?
Bullseye.
It kind of looks like one. But anyway, Derek and Tony here with good friends of ours, Ms. Cosmic Casey and Mr. Jason Hollywood Westlake.
Oh, God. Hello.
Hello. You love the name Hollywood.
No, I don't.
I know.
I'm over it. I'm so over it.
You've been over it for a long time. But, Jason, it's been a while since we've had you on the show, but anybody that's been to our website, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, they've seen your artwork as mm-hmm. you do the Avengers prints that we have
yep.
as our background. And Casey has had the audacity to be on our show three times now.
Yes.
Yeah. And, Casey?
Dirk, better watch out.
Oh. Uh-oh. Casey on comics coming up.
Yeah, pretty much. Dude, I've done 7 interviews with it, dude, I feel like. But, you know, he's a cool cat. He deserves it.
It's got to be at least in that number for us. Like in just
See, he deserves it. I just kind of force my way into shows. I've assaulted so many podcasts, it's not even funny.
I know, she broke down my door and was like, I'm coming on the show today.
Yeah.
Get up out of that massage chair. My back hurts.
So, Casey, just so we don't forget later on, you have a little website blog out there, and you have a project coming up that you're working on.
Yes, I do. CosmicCasey.com, both with K's. There you'll find, you know, humor, satire, original sci-fi. I'm working on the comic album reviews from a previous site crash, unfortunately, so I'm trying to gather those up again. But pretty much a blog. I mean, I've fought the label blogger for a long time. I'm not sitting there like it's a diary, but I do talk about my personal insight on things, but it always comes off as satire. So if you're a fan of crack.com, you might be a fan of my stuff as well.
Yeah, it's snarky.
Yes, it is. And yeah. I just feel like I'm talking to you now. You know, I'm just talking to my audience. I don't like to talk at people, but it does fall under the vein of, you know what really grinds my gears? And who gives a shit? I don't know.
When you can't find the droids you're looking for.
Exactly. Looking for love in Alderaan places.
Oh, that's one of my all-time favorite jokes.
I know. I still love
that
it.
That one, and what's the interior temperature of a Tauntaun?
What's that?
Lukewarm.
Nice. Open a window.
Yeah.
Very nice.
All right. And Jason, where can people find you?
Either on Facebook at Jason Westlake Art or westlakeillustration.blogspot.com. I try to update once a week.
You do have a Twitter, but you don't really use it.
I had it. I've only used it once, and I think that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I just never got back to it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
oh my God, it's like Christmas. Half-finished beer that I didn't finish last week.
Oh, dude, well, don't drink that. That's disgusting.
Tasty.
Yeah. All right. Should we get things kicked off with Off the Shelf?
Yeah, let's have one of these newbies do it.
All right. You guys bring a book?
I bought some yesterday.
Did you bring a book to review?
Dude, I just...
did Jason not tell you?
Have you listened to our show? You know,
I've listened to the con ones.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Jason, you got something in your hand that actually we picked up at Grand Con a while back.
Yes. And actually, I think this was first released at Motor City Comic Con this past year. A good friend of mine from the other side of the state, Bruce Gerlach, and Kevin Miner. Kevin Miner wrote this, and Bruce Gerlach illustrated it. It's called Stupid Stuff. It's a book of short one-panel comics, kind of in the same vein as, like, if you want to say, like, Family Circus. It's just one panel cartoons.
I wouldn't say Family Circus. I'd say more Far Side than Family Circus.
Thank you. Well, I mean, that was the first one that popped in the head. It's just in that same vein. Where it's
just like seeing Billy run around the map and get back to
it. It's in the same vein as Ziggy.
There we go. Yeah. but it's just a really goofy, book. Every page is something different. A lot of crude humor, but it's all in good fun. So, I like this one a lot.
That's a great review. All right, Tony, let's get going with the one book that we've been waiting to talk about for a while, Death of Wolverine. Because I know that. What is that, Casey? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, let's get your take on it before we actually get our take on it.
Wait, have you read it?
I have not read it yet, no.
Then what's the...
No.
She just doesn't want us
you
to
know, I,
it for her.
I have a love-hate relationship with... I understand that. I have a love-hate relationship with Marvel because of that. But, you know, just to me, because Marvel just don't give a shit, and that's fine. And I like their bold moves, but at the same time, I hate them. Like, you're going to kill off your poster boy. Then I'm like, oh.
No, Deadpool's their poster boy.
Now he is, yeah.
Oh, my God. Enough. Yeah. But I'm like, you sexy bastards. I love this, and I hate this at the same time. But
yeah.
But see, the thing is this, though. If you read it, hell a good story.
Oh, I'm like, sure it is.
Well, and this actually comes full circle to what, episode 3 or 4? When, maybe 2 or 3 or 4, when I was talking about Space Punisher. And
historian Jason, tell us which one it is.
It's I was reviewing Space Punisher, which was written by Frank Thierry and Mark Texiera did the art on it.
Mm-hmm.
And before I could even get into it, Tony just goes, "That sounds stupid."
I just totally went off on the title, what it was, didn't read it. And then I got called out on it on Twitter.
Yeah, because Frank actually called him out, like, because I tagged him going, "Hey, we reviewed your book." And he's like, to the gentleman who talked about it and read it, "Thank you, I'm glad you liked it." To the other guy, "Read the book." But Tony, to his credit, did go back and read it and then found out, yeah, it was a really fucking good story. So I think Death of Wolverine.
I'm sure it's a really good story.
Yeah.
I'm just... Marvel and their judgment calls. I mean, I admire them for it, but like I said, I hate them at the same time. But, you know, I'm going to read it. You know I will.
Well, and we're going to spoil the shit out of it here for you.
Yeah, I was, I guess, fortunate enough that my brother had... I read number 1 when it first came out, and then he had 2 and 3. Just picked up 4, so I got to read 2, 3, and 4 right in a row, which
originally
was awesome.
Originally these were supposed to come out every week, 4 weeks in a row, but I don't know if there was a shipment a problem, or if there was...
I think some of the other titles were still catching up to it. I think they had to delay his actual death.
Yeah, but see, at the same time, though, Black Widow came out here 2 weeks ago, and that one, Wolverine was already dead in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, wait a minute.
Quantum leap.
Yeah.
Only explanation.
Yeah. But a little credit, Charles Soule is the writer on this. Steve McNiven did pencils, Jay Leisten did inks, and Justin Ponsor did the colors on this one.
Yes, and we will obviously be more talking of number 4, but really the overall story that has taken place within this book. Each one having a different setting, the first one being him out in like the wilderness, number 2 being in Madripoor, number 3 being in Tokyo, and then this one at the still kind of Tokyo, but at the facility, mainly.
Yeah.
Nevada. Yeah. You didn't need to know the in-between of the flying or what time, you know, how long it took him to get there. Each book was kind of a self-contained, confronting one of his past, one of his, you know, enemies.
That's the one thing that I really did enjoy about this series, too, is that if you missed number 1, you could just grab number 2. If you missed number 1 and 2, you could just grab number 3.
It's very episodic, like that.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. And each one just told a little more part of him, a little what he was doing. Like, the number 2 when he was in Madripoor and just looking all James Bondish and just like... And that other guy didn't know that was him because he didn't have his iconic hair. It was back in a ponytail and everything. Like, I was looking at it, I was like... I believe that's supposed to be Wolverine, but that doesn't look like Wolverine.
Okay, now this is not as much about the review as it is about the story on this one, and I'm okay with that. Did you notice in that issue that when the guy's putting on Iron Man's mask, mm-hmm. and he's scanning, and he's got the thing, and it's got, like, all the facial recognitions, and it can read the DNA, and this one's a mutant, and this one's that. Did you notice that there was a Raven Darkholm?
Yeah.
In there?
And I was kind of like, I thought she was, he just said, was running Madripoor right now. So him being in there, that she didn't come and confront Wolverine, or that she wouldn't have known through her spies, was a little, they probably shouldn't have said that was the mutant that they, signature they picked up.
Now, then again, it could be something that they're going to tie into later, because as we know, nobody stays dead in comic books except for Uncle Ben. So, I mean, you know, at some point Wolverine's coming back. But, Jason, they can't hear your head nod, just so you know.
Okay. That's,
yeah. okay, so
let's start off with the cover, because the cover is just hollow foil, Death holding a naked Wolverine. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's reflective and holographic-like.
It's like a mirror. I can see myself in it.
Actually, there was one of them that you could definitely get a good reflection in. Okay, let's kind of get into this one a little bit, though. In this last issue, Wolverine goes to confront Dr. Cornelius, the man who made him. Is it Dr. Cornelius?
Yeah, right? Abraham Cornelius, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking at me funny.
No, Casey. But no, go ahead.
No, feel free. Like what?
This is why you're here to speak.
Are you thinking Planet of the Apes?
Yes, it was. Okay, I was like, yes. What are you talking about?
Yeah. No, I've always thought the same thing. So, yeah.
That's, I have a I'm lot of caffeine running through my system.
Well, this is drunk on... Damn it, we didn't get you drunk before this.
No, but I wasn't drunk for the last one either.
I know.
I know it was boring shit, but...
The one before that, oh, that was epic.
Wow. You couldn't even remember that one.
Neither could you.
I know. You're like, I don't think either of us remember what we said.
Yeah. Okay, so in this, Dr. Cornelius has been trying to create superhumans, basically like...
Well, more Wolverines that can be controllable.
Yeah, basically.
Because he kind of goes into the whole, what Wolverine means, a glutton of death, that's all you are.
A gluttonous glutton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so realizing that he wasn't the perfect candidate to get the adamantium, finding out why all those other people that are related to Wolverine that have adamantium in them were being hunted to be harvested for their adamantium, that he goes on and saying he's learned the process to actually smelt it to get it back in liquid form, which is one of the things that they've always said couldn't really be done once it's grafted. So kind of retcon, throw that in there. Cool, okay, works with the story. But then you see these three super soldier people that are going to be...
Quote-unquote volunteers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right before that, he pretty much explains why he needed Wolverine alive, though. Which, honestly, if he didn't know that Wolverine was not healing. Like, Wolverine cut up his hand, put it up against the...
So there's this scene. I don't know. You guys, I don't think, have seen this issue. I know Jason's just flipping through it now. But there's a scene where Dr. Cornelius is like, yeah, I need you for the healing factor. And Wolverine slices his hand open, which, by the way, he has claws made out of sharpened rebar that he has strapped to his arms, which I thought was just awesome. And he slices his hand and basically puts it up to the window. And when he did that, I instantly thought of Lost with him going, not Penny's boat. It has nothing to do with this, but I couldn't.
That'd be great if you put it on a volleyball. Yeah.
Oh.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Little Wilson Wolverine.
That's going to be the parody. Smack.
Yeah, there's going to. Okay, so now there's a couple other things. Sabretooth has a healing ability, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much almost the same one. I guess, yeah, Wolverine's is a little bit... I guess the only ones that's even more would be somehow Deadpool's, which...
Yeah.
I don't know how that makes sense, but...
Why not catch Deadpool?
Yeah. Maybe it's just because... Well, no, I bet you it's this. Because he's so hell-bent being a evil doctor or whatever, Wolverine's the only one that's honestly had this stuff grafted to him. So maybe he's thinking he's got that special...
Special version of it.
Yeah.
Was Daken... His kid, he just had
the bone ones, I believe. Well, X-23, but that was a clone, I guess.
Well, X-23 has the adamantium claws, but her skeleton is not adamantium.
Yeah. So, man, all these people with adamantium and healing factors.
Lady Deathstrike?
She has adamantium on her.
Yeah.
And she does.
That's like the worst "that's what she said" ever.
I know. I just feel bad that I don't have much to contribute.
So. That's okay. That's okay. No, so I do want to kind of break down a couple things here as far as, because the one question, in this story, the shortened version of it is that Wolverine has gotten to Dr. Cornelius. He has to fight this giant super soldier guy who is kicking the shit out of him. And you realize that Logan is actually playing this guy, and he's waiting for the one moment because there's this...
reinforced glass.
Yeah, like bulletproof type glass.
Waiting for a finish him kind of thing.
Yeah, and waiting for him to go for the big final punch, and at the last minute, Logan just goes whoop and ducks his head, and so this guy smashes the glass that's between him and Cornelius.
Not going to lie, I don't normally get squeamish like Kevin does with certain images in comic books, but while they're fighting and them cutting open those three candidates,
yeah,
I'm like, that just is fucking gross, because Dr. Cornelius hit the go button to start putting adamantium in these people. Like, well, we're just going to do this anyways, regardless. And just seeing them slicing open the people,
like was peeling the flesh back,
gross. And,
yeah,
the foot one is what's getting me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the feet at all. Oh, okay. Off topic once again. Remember the movie Flatliners?
Yes, actually, I saw that when I was real young in the theater. My brother stuck me out because he wanted to go see a movie and he was babysitting me. So we saw Flatliners.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, look, there's a foot on the screen, and then the giant scalpel comes in and just sticks right into the end of it. And it's like, oh, no, that's not good. So Wolverine doesn't want these people to get the adamantium because he's greedy and doesn't like to share. And so he goes and slices open the adamantium tanks, and the hot molten adamantium goes pouring all over him while he's chasing Cornelius outside. Come to find out, Cornelius got a big shard of glass that shot into him when the glass broke, and it cut into his side, and that's what basically kills him. The nice thing I thought with this is that Wolverine didn't have to kill this guy. Like, he didn't actually kill him. It was actually part of this other dude that Cornelius created, smashing the glass. Yeah,
he died from his new creation, not his old one.
And Wolverine is walking outside with all the adamantium kind of like slowly hardening on him, and he collapses down to his knees, and you see him there.
Well, just Cornelius's last words, what did you ever do? You killed people. What did you ever do? And that's when you get that last scene, that flashbacks of certain key points in Wolverine's life, and he's still kind of walking around with the molten adamantium. It's something that he had said to Kitty in the previous issue of, maybe someday I'll just, after this is all taken care of, I'll grow old, be able to watch a sunset and finally die.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that, him be able to go out on this rooftop in the Nevada desert and just see that sunset, I just thought painted just the most beautiful picture of who he was. And just his last thought or his words in here was, he was asked, what did you do? And he looks back on his life and just says, enough.
Yeah, Wolverine is definitely a character that shows a lot of personal vulnerability in his backstory that keeps coming up. That's something I really like about him.
Well, and this was one of those moments. It was a very, very nice and touching moment. That they had that thing, the moment where he said, I just want to see the sunset, and you get it here. It's also the sunset on the end of at least this chapter of his story, if not his life. Yeah, maybe a little cliche, but you know what? It was actually beautiful, and I felt it was poignant enough from what Charles Soule did on this. I do have to point out, especially on those last couple pages, the colors by Justin Ponsor are just fucking fantastic. I mean, it really, Steve McNiven and Jay Leiston on this did a killer fucking job to start with, but then he put those colors on top of it, and it added a depth to this where you don't normally see in a lot of the big two books, anymore. A lot of the depth of this level seems to be kind of relegated to some of the more creator-owned stuff, especially when you kind of look at, in the case, if you look in the very front, you'll actually see the pencils and the inks. Yeah. And then in the back of each of these books, the one thing that I really enjoyed...
I like the storyboards and everything.
Yeah, it's like they've got, now this one here,
Just had covers and then
kind of... just the covers, you know. But the other ones, they had storyboards. They had, you know, the original sketches and stuff like
That's making me tear up. Seriously.
Are you getting teary-eyed there, Casey?
I am, these last two pages.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is that when I was reading this, you know, we're reading this going, okay, yeah, Wolverine's going to die, whatever. You know, he'll probably be gone for a year or two, maybe three. You know, then he'll be back. And as I was, like, in this, and he's confronting Cornelius, I'm actually sitting there saying to myself, I don't want Wolverine to die. Mm-hmm. And I, like, it never occurred to me, like, I mean, this is a character that I've been a fan of for 30 years. You know, I mean, since I was 10 years old, I was the first time I read a comic with Wolverine in it.
1/100th of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And asshole. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I just sat there and I went, yeah, I don't really want him to die. But I'm glad that it was, you know, with a choice from Marvel like this to kill off their character, because you know what? It's going to create a lot of book sales just on this issue. But then also
all the other ones that it's saying, you know, check out how other people grieve Wolverine's death in this book and in this book.
And, you know,
it makes me want to pick up some of those books just to see their thoughts.
Yeah, the Logan Legacy. This is, I think, a 7-issue miniseries, and where it's going to have, like, a whole bunch of different characters that, you know, are somehow tied in with Wolverine. You know, anyone from Kitty Pryde to Sabretooth to Mystique to, you know.
Are we going to get to see Jubilee?
I don't know. But actually, that's kind of where a lot of this goes to, though, is that the bigger question is going to be the Marvel Universe itself. How do they function without Wolverine? Because he has been such a huge part. I mean, he's been an Avenger. He's been an X-Man. He's been, shit, he probably was part of Fantastic Four and Guardians at one point, too. You know, and I mean, it's just going to be an odd world without Wolverine in it. So that'll be...
But you think it's as odd of a world as not having, like, say, Peter Parker, Spider-Man? I mean, whose death was more? I mean, this one we have he's actually gone. The other one we at least had Peter Parker's spirit there, so.
Still going on with that. He wasn't a ghost. I got the $20 to prove it. I think the biggest thing with I think having Wolverine gone would be a much larger impact, if for no other reason than he is in how many different books. And, you know, if...
So it's the amount of books that the character's in that makes him more special?
Well, it's there's also the fact that when a book is slumping in sales, let's have Wolverine show up.
Right.
You know, that's always... That's a go-to
answer.
Like
I said, he was the go-to poster boy.
I just can't wait till you cry when they kill Deadpool, because he's in way more books, so your tears will be massive for him.
I still don't, like... I know you love Deadpool. I really like Deadpool killed the Marvel Universe, but I don't understand why Deadpool has as many books as he does. Like,
because he's funny and he relates as a comic book character. He is. To
who?
He breaks the fourth wall, so he's like you and me living in our dream world.
All right.
Okay.
Topic for another day, I guess. But
I will ask you this: any speculation on how Wolverine might come back?
Okay, we were talking about this at the bar a little bit. Now, there were, you know, Cornelius had developed some healing serums. And we were talking about it, and all the healing serums were going into these people. But there was one little syringe, not three, Tony, but one.
Yeah, they did show just the one at the beginning.
One syringe sitting on the table out there in the lab that you never know. They could very well do the, what you didn't see was right before Wolverine.
Yeah, but he's doused in the stuff. It'd take a shit ton
of that. That's the one thing where I was going, that's where I was going with at first. Sure, he could have put that in him to give him his quick healing ability, and maybe he's just encased in this thing. But when you think about it, that metal got all over his claws, so that's, now, if they're going to be able to smelt him out of this, that shit burned down into his fucking skull. His whole body would be smelted out. I don't know how they're going to get him out of a fucking adamantium-encased statue that he's in. Like, that's the one thing, regardless. If he had full healing ability right now, He's fucking covered in that shit.
Shi'ar technology.
Ooh, touche.
So, all right. Definitely worth picking that book up. I think Charles Soule did a killer job on The Death of Wolverine. Ooh, that was good.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm useful for something.
Yeah.
I need like a slide with a solo, like a tambourine or something. Whoop. That was a good one, Derek.
All right. Next book that I wanted to mention, and I'm not going to go into quite as much depth on this one, is The Twilight Zone, Lost Tales. It's a 48-page, one-shot special. It's written by Mark Rainier and letters by Rob Steen. There's three different stories in here.
Is it revolving around the other story book?
Nope.
Like any of these characters?
These are three completely different self-contained stories in here. The first one was Hangnail on a Monkey's Paw, and the art on that was Randy Valiente, and colors were Vivian Souza. Cold Calculation, art was by Edu, I don't know how to say that first name, Edu, Mena. Gray tones were Sandra Molina. And the last one was It's All in How You Frame It, and that was Rod Rodolfo on art and Marco Lesko on colors on that. I like this one because this felt more like the old school TV show, even though it's in current day, but like it starts out with the in the Twilight Zone. Like, you know, it's like the little blah, 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 you know.
Is Serling in it doing a narration?
No, but it kind of feels like him.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
His spirit, if you will.
Yeah. I'm going to get one complaint out of the way, and I don't normally like to complain about stuff on the show, but I liked this one enough to where the complaints are overridden, but it does need to be said. The first two stories in here, I thought, had a little bit too much of politics involved in it for my taste. The first one, I think, showed pretty much just one side. The second one, I think, showed both sides of an argument. The third one didn't really have any politics in it at all. But I don't like politics in my comics.
Yeah, I don't like politics or religion in comics either.
It alienates part of your audience.
Yeah.
So, it really does.
Now, with that said, this is still a really good book and deserves a read. You know, but you just kind of have to be prepared and go, okay, you know, I'm not going to agree with this side or that side. You know, and actually the second story showed the...
Well, was it just, I mean, more or less, was it just a page or two of dialogue of it? Or was it the actual story had...
The first story, Hangnail on a Monkey's Paw, is dealing with the Vice President of the United States and how he authorized killing and torture of... You know, people over in the Middle East because they were, you know, and it even shows them being waterboarded and stuff like that. And you
that know, title just sounds awesome.
Yeah,
hanging on a monkey's paw.
But it's, you know, it's one of these things where this guy, oh shoot, and I can't remember his name now, and I just had it. Hang on, Khalil. I believe it was his Khalid. He got a magical monkey's paw which had three wishes.
Okay.
And
it's a tale as old as time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like Simpsons did it.
I thought you were going to go into Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
When you said it's a tale as old as time, I was waiting for you to start singing.
True as it can be.
Maybe we could just have Jason sing songs.
I know. He isn't doing much right now.
I'm listening. I'm taking it all in. Yeah. I've never been on this show before, so I'm just taking it all in.
It's not the first time you've heard it.
You can
before.
Listen to it at home after it's set up on the internet, but what you could do right now is contribute to the overall.
All right. So anyway, the one thing that he wishes for with this vice president... you know, he was tortured and he manages to get into the vice president's area and he wishes that the vice president will never die. Basically, he wishes him immortality.
Hmm.
I can
think of better wishes than that.
He wishes the vice president that?
No, he wishes the vice president to never die. Which is one of those things where if you think about it, it's like, yeah, immortality, that's a gift. Well, you know what? That's a curse, too.
It is a curse. No, you'll go through more shit than you would, you know, highlights.
Yeah. Yeah, watch Groundhog Day.
Well,
or sucks. Duncan MacLeod, man. He just mm-hmm. fucking...
Everyone that you ever care about will die.
Yeah.
Always. Like, you know, it's... So, anyway, I'm not going to spoil the ending on that one for you. The next story is definitely like a 1950s type, like, UFO space travel story. Not UFO. Like, I mean, it's humans that are traveling, and they're looking for a new place to inhabit, because here's where the politics run in. Humans ruined Earth and caused global warming, and all the ice caps melted. So, but good story in this one. This one actually shows, I liked this one because it did show the pros and cons of both sides on it, I thought. So I was like, okay. Very cool. The last story, Tony, kind of brings back to what we were talking about at the beginning, and it's a guy who gets these glasses and he can kind of see people's auras and souls. And they're kind of like the new Google Glass. Like, they're the only prototypes out there. So if you guys like fun stories like this, definitely pick it up. You know, I mean, like, just be a little bit forewarned that there's some stuff in there that you may or may not like.
It sounds like an excellent premise, but crap content. You know what I mean? Like, the whole idea of, I mean, like the last story, it's got a B-movie-esque feel to it. Even some of the themes of the story are great, but just the little things that writers tend to throw in under the door that can really, really irk somebody into not wanting to read it again. You don't want to do that.
Well, actually, I will go back and reread this one. You know, and like I said, it was one of those things where I think one of the reasons I brought it up is because normally something like that will turn me off so much that I won't finish it.
So you didn't have to strive to enjoy it. It didn't bother you that bad.
No, it didn't. Like, I sat there and I'm like, this is unnecessary. But you know what? I understand, because he was trying, like, I think what the writer was trying to do in this was trying to take modern times and use these old tales, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually reminded me of an Inner Sanctum. Like, the first one reminded me of an Inner Sanctum, when this guy got immortality, but he got convicted of murder and was sentenced to life in prison.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so it was just one of those types of issues where I sat there and I'm like, you know what, this is cool. And then I also sat there and went, you know what, it's the Twilight Zone. I don't have to like the things that go on in the Twilight Zone aren't necessarily things that are going on in our real world. And that's where I sat there and went, okay,
it's the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And it's a comic.
Yeah. But
so not real.
You know, the art was actually pretty nice overall. There were some things that I really enjoyed in there. There were some other things that...
Well, I want to know from our artist in the room, what'd you think of the art?
I thought it was very... I'm going to just look at it one more time. Especially, which story was this? It's all in gray tone.
Yeah, that's... That one was the best one, yeah. That was like the cold...
Cold Calculation.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of just grayscale in comics in general. I always liked that.
If you can do it right.
If you can do it right. Or maybe just like really saturated colors. Nothing overbearing. But this, like the Zoc when he's shooting a laser beam at another guy, that's all in color. I thought that was...
Yeah, just the sound effect has color. You know. But no, I mean, that was actually my favorite one on there, both from the art style as well as, you know, the actual story.
Because that actually makes it a bit more nostalgic as well.
Yeah, that's definitely took me back. So
that just reminds me of something offshoot of, I like to write. Coming up with how to spell fucking, like, sounds is one of the hardest thinking things to do. Because I'm like, it sounds like this, but reading it doesn't really look... But when you're reading in comic books, you automatically know that sound. Like, sense. Somehow the comic book sound bubble makes it so much easier than reading like a short, you know, prose story.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap up off the shelf here. We've got some news to cover. And before we do that, Tony, I do have a quick bar back that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Daniel Friedman, you know, guy that we got to know here back at Motor City, co-creator on Burn the Orphanage with Cena Grace, has a new Kickstarter out. And by the time this comes out, it'll be a little over 3 weeks, almost 3.5 weeks left to go. This is a big one. It's got a $15,000 goal. But It is actually a short film and a comic. So I thought this was kind of cool. It's called Onyx. And so if you look up Stimulus, Onyx, you'll find it on Kickstarter. And it's a short, I'm going to read here, a short film about redemption, an unwillful hitman, and the drugs that give him the supernatural ability to look within. And the thing that I liked about the idea is that, you know, you've got the comic and the film, so I kind of want to see how they pair up next to each other. There's a ton of really cool stuff in here, including, like, at the $150 level, you can get a 9x12 original drawing of your choice from Burn the Orphanage artist Cena Grace. So you can get a commission from Cena for $150 and be in there, you know, and get, like, all the other cool stuff that you would get. Check it out. I mean, Daniel's an awesome guy. He's a hell of a good writer. And you know, Cena's always been one of our favorite people that we've known since we've been doing this. So I wanted to mention that. So Stimulus Onyx, go check it out and give them some support. So they're on their way. Tony, what do we have for news?
Well, let's have one of our newbies bring up a news article. What do you guys got?
Well, the one I heard about this morning, this is movie news, but it does relate to the next X-Men film, was that supposedly Tom Hardy, who played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, he's being eyed to play Apocalypse for the next film, Age of Apocalypse.
Is he going to talk like he wears a big sweater and has Werther's candies in his pocket for the kids?
I hope so.
My four horsemen. Survival of the fittest.
Actually, I heard that the best way to do it
is you have to cover up your mouth with your hands.
So, I guess that, I don't know. When we listen back, I'll find out if that worked or not. But it's better than your Bill Cosby impersonation or your Bobcat Goldthwait impersonation.
Stop it with those pudding pots.
That is really bad.
All right, other movie news, and Marvel just dominated the news this week. Robert Downey Jr. is coming back in Captain America 3, and it looks like it's going to be the start of Civil War. So,
which, if that's the start of the Civil War, because that's supposed to come out right before, well, before the last Avengers movie, if Avengers would be all, well, I mean, they're all in the Avengers anyways. I just don't know. Civil War on the big screen, I mean, you could do it without the mutants, but, I mean, there were still mutants there, but, like, that's a huge fucking cast to have two sides of the coin there of what the Civil War was about. To have them in Captain America just seems like it'd be more of an Avengers thing.
Yeah, but see, now you can start pulling in those people from the Netflix shows. You can bring in people from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, you could bring Punisher back, you know, at some point, and who knows, like, I mean, they might have Spider-Man involved if Sony and Marvel can kiss and make nice for this. You might see something where maybe he's involved in there. You never know.
That's some news that's just, I don't know, got me percolating on the what-ifs and could-haves, because Civil War was such an amazing book.
Yeah.
In comic book form.
The DC side, though, decided not to be outdone, and they decided to release all of their movies through 2020. Did you see the list, Tony?
Yes, and that they have pretty much two coming out each year is a hefty goal.
Yeah. This 2016 Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, which we've all known about, mm-hmm. Suicide Squad has now been confirmed. Wonder Woman in 2017, Justice League Part 1 in 2017, The Flash starring Ezra Miller, so he was announced, that's 2018, Aquaman.
Fishhead.
What? Yeah, oh. Fishhead. Aquaman starring Jason Momoa in 2018, Shazam 2019, which we know The Rock is going to be in, so I don't know why they didn't put his name on this list. Maybe because he's not starring is Shazam?
I think he's the villain.
Yeah, I think he's Black Adam.
But Justice League Part 2, Cyborg in 2020, and I'm really hoping that Cyborg will star Shaquille O'Neal as the opposite version of Steel.
And then Superman ever.
And then Green Lantern in 2020, which, you know, I'm guessing that they aren't going to be doing a sequel.
No.
Yeah. Wow. So that's pretty much everything that we've got there. But, all right, what else was out there, guys?
Well, one of the things that we talked about before is, I mean, Marvel, a lot more teasers than DC does. And Marvel has thrown out a shit ton in the last week. One of which we had mentioned before, No More Mutants, which when we read that, we didn't quite understand what that was talking about. And it was teased at New York Comic Con. And now it seems to be coming out that that's just the teaser for the new Uncanny Avengers that's spinning out of Axis. So that one's kind of a lame, like...
So wait. So if it's for the Uncanny Avengers, does that just mean that the mutants aren't allowed to be in the Avengers anymore?
See, that's what I was
thinking
too, but from what the cover looks like, there's Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and actually Sabretooth, so, and Rogue. So, like, obviously it's going to get a whole new cast for this new team, and they're going to renumber the book, but, the No More Mutants thing, it threw me for a loop.
When's that coming out?
I believe next summer.
Okay.
It's going to be their... A lot of these things that I'm just going to mention quickly right now seems to be all next July 2015.
Did you see Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies?
That's one that's actually out of all these that they're rehashing.
Casey, normally I say like the facial cues can't be heard, but I know people heard you roll your eyes at that one.
You know, I'm still not surprised, but yeah. Nothing shocks me anymore.
What do you have against Age of Ultron?
I don't.
What do you have against Marvel Zombies?
I don't.
Well, then stop being a hater.
Whatever, Space Punisher.
No, Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies, that one is taking two stories that were from Marvel's past, like all these. But this one's a little bit different because they're going to mash them together. So
maybe it's the mashing together that I'm rolling at.
Yeah, but... okay, I am...
I'd like to see Marvel Zombies on their own, though. Like the...
Yeah, this they haven't had a Marvel Zombies book. They kind of went a little too... They did a lot of the Marvel Zombies thing, I think, a little too much. They should have spread them out a little more. Because they pretty much ruined all the... Like, not ruined all the stories, but there's only so much those superhero zombies could do with the world before devouring it. And then, I don't know. I've loved those. But then another one that they've announced is the Armor Wars. Which is another throwback to an old, not series, but event, you know, in Iron Man's world.
Years and of Future Past?
That's another one. Like,
yeah.
That's where I'm like, the House of Ideas kind of rehashing all these ideas. Now,
scrape.
I'm not going to.
Was that the bottom of the barrel I heard?
I believe so.
Yeah. No,
I think we're at the end.
Planet Hulk as well.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
Planet Hulk.
Like I said, they are taking all these huge, iconic events. If they only do this one time and what they're trying to go for, because they're all coming out at the same time, that they're going to...
We already know Secret Wars.
And that's, yes, the Secret Wars is going to be happening too. And I think that's the big event that all these are going to go into. I see this being a fun, nostalgic, different take on some of these, like... Something happens now where Iron Man needs to then have all of his armors come out again. And somehow Hulk decides he needs to go to some planet to destroy some warlord or something. Not make it the exact same fucking story, but something in the same realm where they can kind of say, okay, we're just going to label this Planet Hulk because Hulk's on a planet, so Planet Hulk, those go together. Or something such as that. I mean... Years of futures past. Maybe they're going to talk about, you know, the wonder of those years.
Well, wonder years, if you may.
Wow. The one thing that, though, that before we wrap up this section, you know, we talked last week about whether or not Marvel was getting rid of the X-Men because they were, you know, they're pissed about not having the movie rights. Well, it looks like they aren't getting rid of the X-Men anytime soon. So, you know... Maybe they have a problem with the Fantastic Four, but maybe they have a problem with the Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? But, yeah, the Years of Future Past, I am excited to pick up because it's got Arthur Adams doing the art on it, which I'm excited about that one. So, what else did you have there, Tony? Oh, there was one other quick Marvel news. Silk, the female Spider-Man character that just got...
Yeah.
She's got her own series coming out, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I think there's too many spiders. I mean, what we were just saying of so many Wolverine-type offshoots.
Well, you got to fill in those blanks somewhere.
True.
Well, and we know Spider-Gwen's coming out.
Yep.
So, DC has two new books coming out, and the one I know is, I don't know if it's digital first or strictly digital, but that's the Mortal Kombat X or Mortal Kombat 10, which is a prequel to the new Mortal Kombat game that's coming out on there. And then the one actually that I'm guessing Kevin will pick up is Wonder Woman 77. The Linda Carter television version of Wonder Woman is being brought to a digital platform, and I'm assuming it's going to be digital first, so it'll probably be like, you know, two short issues that will then be compiled into one, same as like Batman 66 was, and Batman 66 Green Hornet.
Yeah.
Those things. So
maybe Batman 66 can jump 11 years in the future to see Wonder Woman 77.
Well, it's been out for 2 years now, so isn't that like, well, next year that'll be Batman 69. That'll be, what? It's just
no one said anything.
You're just giggling in your head.
There's like smoke for itself.
Yeah. All right, that's everything that I needed to chat about this week as far as news. Unless you had anything else.
Two quick things. One thing that I think is kind of amazing. Lori Holden, who played Andrea on The Walking Dead, helped to fight child trafficking. She had donned a wig and played. Pretty much being an actress at a helping stage a bachelor party with the goal of rescuing child prostitutes that were brought to the event and arresting the traffickers. So,
wow,
that's kind of a real
where was this
world thing down in Colombia.
Wow,
yeah, this happens all over.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool to see some people that, you know, bigger names start. I mean, there are a lot of volunteers that help with this, but to see some people take the time out of their busy schedules is quite nice.
That's awesome. And the other thing is that now maybe the people that all go, I fucking hate Andrea, you know, maybe now they'll
like, yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. last thing, there's been reports from Michigan State University, which has been turned into Metroplex, preparing for scenes for the new Superman Batman movie, that there has been leaked information of a certain Robin included in the script will be female. So whether how true those reports are right now, this is the first scene of this rumor, but it was someone that was actually on the set of Superman, Batman,
yeah, but dude,
Justice
like,
League, the first movie.
If I was on that set, or if I could just like disappear for the day and tell people I was on the set, especially if I was a college kid. I mean, I don't know if it was like one of those Michigan State kids, but I'd fucking go out and go, dude, they had a female. They had a female Robin, you know, just to kind of get that whole thing.
Well, it wasn't a kid though. It was a extra on the set who spoke to a reporter anonymously of it. So yeah, who knows whether it's true or not? But I mean, that would be a different take. Actually, to tell you the truth, I'm actually going to almost just say this report's true because what they are doing with Batman versus Superman is more in line of
The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. There was a female Robin in that. So
yeah.
Very well could be true.
Yeah. All right. We got to get... We're I think, running a little short on time here this week, aren't we, Tone?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. Let's get to Indy Turnpike.
Indy Turnpike this week. Book I haven't chatted about in a while. Kevin and I have both been reading this one. Manifest Destiny, number 11. Written by Chris Dinges, pencils and inks by Matthew Roberts, and Owen Gianni did colors on this one. This is a book following Lewis and Clark on their adventure. Where
I heard about this.
This is a fun book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I'll hand this over so you guys can take a peek. It's Lewis and Clark, you know, on their adventure across the country, and they're running into all of these supernatural type creatures, you know, like like half Minotaur, half like buffalo people, like just really weird stuff going on. There's a giant like frog creature in here. You know, there have been these mosquitoes that are the size of like parrots that like burrow into people's bodies. And
Lewis and Clark's Land of the Lost, pretty much, right?
Yeah, it pretty much is. And so this has been a great story. Now, this wraps up kind of the issue of the first major arc on here. And their next issue, the 12th, I guess, is going to be a standalone issue. And then that, I think, will be compiled into the first trade on there. First or second trade. I don't remember if they had a first one on there. But really fun story. Very unique style. It's definitely an interesting book because they deal with a lot of real human characters as far as people that are trying to be sneaky behind the scenes and concoct plans, to people that have been wronged and are getting their revenge, but in a very, very human way.
Are there monkeys in this?
There are no monkeys in this one.
No. I was just going to say, we've kind of had Monkey Paw. We had Dr. Cornelius. You know, just seeing if we can have, like, something tied together, like a theme here.
Well, I agree with you, I don't mean to burst your bubbles, but there's no... There's no monkeys.
There's not enough goddamn monkeys.
Yeah. Give this book a look. The thing is, even in this one here, it's another good example of a book where, yeah, you're 11 issues in, but you can grab it and just go. Like
they, I love that.
They do such a good job adding more to the characters in each issue that you can do it very well.
Because nowadays people, you know, especially adults, you know, they catch a comic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like in their spare time. So for it to be episodic like that really works out and you don't lose your audience that way.
Yeah. I mean, like there's definitely stuff that like, you know, they kind of left you on a cliffhanger at the last one, but it picks up here and you understand, okay, yeah, we're in trouble. You can go from there. You don't have to know everything else that happened.
I like that a lot.
So, so check out Manifest Destiny. Last thing then I've got before we do last call is Booze in a Book, and this one's a little on the nose, I'm not going to lie, but Supreme Blue Rose, number 4 from Image Comics, mixed with a Blue Rose, and a Blue Rose is 2 parts vodka, 1 part Monster Energy drink, and 1 part of Rose's cocktail infusion, the Blue Raspberry.
Nice.
And shake it up. Toss it on the rocks and slip it down. And I think if you drink a few of those, you will definitely appreciate all the psychedelic shit going on in this book a lot more. And, I mean, it's great, but, you know, just having a few drinks in you, this one will trip you out. So check them both out. Tony, anything for last call?
Let's see if the newbies have anything. You guys read anything else this week that you might want to mention?
I just picked up Tuccini's Love. It's an Image comic, same people who did Black Science.
Okay.
Rick Remender and,
mm-hmm.
Who's doing the art on that? It's not Acuna, is it?
No, Tuccini.
Thank you.
Yep, Italian artist. But I'm just a big fan of that art style, so it wasn't hard to sell me on it. It's another, sort of... a supernatural cape, if you will, like uncape maybe. I don't know too much about it, to be honest. I'll tell you straight up, I was sold on the art.
Yeah.
So I went to pick up Black Science number 9, and then they had showed me that at Vault of Midnight, and I was like, I'm sold.
So you went to the vault here in Grand Rapids?
Yes.
Yeah. Fun store, huh?
Yeah. It's bigger than the Ann Arbor one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the Ann Arbor one has downstairs, though.
It does, yeah, but...
So, yeah.
It's congested.
Yeah. The Logan Legacy I did mention briefly. Daredevil and Jim Henson's The Storyteller Witches were the other top books of mine for this week.
All right. Matt took half of my comic books, but the one that I just need to say, really good standalone, Deadpool's Art of War. He pretty much... found the scrolls of Art of War and by Sun Tzu and thought, man, I could turn this into a book of, like, you know, it could be related to anything, such as business takeover or this or that, which that book has already been turned into every single which way that could be irrelevant or relevant to the source material. He thinks that it needs to be then a new idea is actually a survival guide of gods fighting. The part that had me laughing out loud was he's like, which gods could I have battling each other? Oh, Thor and Loki always go good. Let's look up what Loki's doing. What the hell? You're a kid? Who the hell did that? Little kid Loki goes, Matt Fraction. That's who he is now. All right, well, let's look back a little bit further. What the hell is that? Girl Loki, Straczynski. He goes, man, we need to go back to something a little bit farther back, you know, circa Silver Surfer number 4 and get the old school Loki. So this obviously is not taking place canon-wise, but just that scene of, like, I don't know. Loki's an awesome character too,
And breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, that's why he's relatable.
He's all about it.
Yeah. There's that one, and then I picked this up because it was only a buck, and it was I love handbooks. In the Valiant Universe handbook, like I said, only $1, and you get to see all these characters that I've been on a Valiant kick, but there's still a lot of characters not having read the universe until recently. Wanting to know their backstory, and it's a pretty thick book that has a lot of good information on who these characters are, what they do, their alliances.
Kind of reminds me of, like, the old Marvel handbook.
Yeah, well, that's what I would eat that shit up. New handbook, I'm going to read it, and what's this one about?
I was going to say, it's better if you read it rather than eat it, because, you know, you'll absorb some random nutrients, but you're not going to get the knowledge. It's a little tough.
Yeah. So those are the two books I've actually gotten to read this week. As with life, I don't get to read as many comic books.
I left it at home because I figured you'd talk about it, but there was another Edge of Spider-Verse. You didn't get that one?
I haven't read it yet. I have it right here, but yeah, it's one of those where it's on my to-do list for later this week to get caught up on
cool
Spidey-ness.
All right, guys. I think it's time for us to go get some drinks. Or more drinks, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fun part is I get to hang out at a wedding with Casey and Jason tonight. So, yep. Casey, you're going to have some drinks there?
I might have a few.
Jason, are you going to be as quiet there?
Probably.
It's like interviewing Seth the Moose all over again. Yeah, I think I might just have to bring the recorder along tonight, and we'll see how drunk Casey gets.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I do want to thank you, too, for coming and joining in. Casey for piping up every now and then, and Jason for sitting there playing with my toys.
Yeah.
It's been fun. We need to do this again. But until next time, listeners, keep reading your comics, and we'll be back next time to talk to you about them then.
I like monkeys.